I want you to turn to Luke 15. In my devotions several months ago, the Lord had me write a sermon, but didn't give me the liberty to preach it till now. And so we're going to go back to Luke 15, a very familiar portion of Scripture that we have seen in the past. And I'm going to read the Scripture, and then we're going to talk a little bit here. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. How to recover lost ground. How to recover what was lost during 2022. We're going to do a little year in review here in just a second. And I want, we're not going to stand up and testify about it. You're going to sit there as we talk and as I preach. I want you to do a little year in review. In Luke 15, it's the story of the prodigal son. Verse 11, and a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me," and he divided unto them his living. I've preached on this entire section many times over the past 10 years. And not many days hence, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He went his own way. He did that which was right in his own eyes. And as you study the book of Judges, you will see this theme reoccurring in the life of the nation of Israel. They do that which is right in their own eyes. America is sliding off into hell because they are doing that which was right in their own eyes. And that's just the truth of it. And he would have, and it says here, and he went and joined, verse 14, and he spent all. This world will take your youth, your health, and your wealth. And when it's done with you, it will kick you to the curb. All this world wants is to take your youth, your health, and your wealth. That's it. It wants your money, it wants your health, and it wants your youth. And when it's done with you, it's done. There arose a mighty famine in the land. Nothing ever goes the way we think it's gonna. When we romanticize about what we have think we have given up to be a Christian, you find out you really didn't give up anything worth having. I haven't had a drop of alcohol since April 19th, 1991. And I climbed the corporate ladder and I did all the social things that the corporation did. And I did it without alcohol and I did it without tobacco and I did it without drugs. So any of what the world tells you about those things is a lie. All right? I'm just telling you. Okay? You can climb the corporate ladder. You can promote in the military without drinking. You can do it. You have to maintain your integrity, though, or you'll be seen as a fraud. And when he had spent all, and there arose a mighty famine in the land, he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country, and they sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. Let me tell you something. When you let the world have you, when you let sin run rampant in your life, you will find yourself doing things you never dreamed you would do to survive. And no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, this is the turning point in a person's life that makes all the difference. And if you're fortunate enough to be alive when you hit this point, then anything's possible. But there are some who die before they hit this point. And he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, that I perish with hunger?" You know, maybe old dad wasn't as foolish as I thought he was. My dad was the village idiot. He was my hero till I turned 12. And then he was the village idiot till I got saved and was 23. And then he became a genius. Somehow he became a genius. "I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Now, why bring this up? Well, listen, I want to do a little spiritual inventory this year. I want you to think back over the past 12 months, and I want you to ask yourself, how's your Bible reading? How's your prayer life? Can you name a prayer request you've had answered this year, this month? How's your church attendance? Now, that's silly. I'm talking to the people who are the faithfuls tonight. I see your faces. I know you, and God has brought you here. Your tithing. Listen, this church couldn't do the things it does if it weren't for your faithfulness. Witnessing. How's your witnessing going? Have you won anybody to the Lord this year? Have you personally shared the gospel at least one time, whether they accepted it or not? Have you gone through the plan of salvation this year? Now, you expect me to talk about those things. So now, and you pretty much got it under control. Maybe you've got some areas you need to work on, and we'll talk about those in a minute. Let's talk about sin. How's it going? Sin is pleasurable for a season. It is fun. And sin is sneaky in the fact that it creeps into our life as we make small compromises. Because what happens is, as the world slides off into hell, we keep a comfortable distance from it. And we think to ourselves, we're okay. But as the world slides closer to sin, we can slide a little closer to sin and still feel like we're okay. Because we still keep that comfortable distance. Let's talk about sin. What did you put in your eyes this year? What did you allow to go through the eye gate? Because what goes in your eyes and your ears sinks down in your heart. And then it festers and comes out your hands, your feet, and your mouth. And it was Jesus who said, it's not the things that go in you that defile you. It's the thing that comes out of the heart. The Bible says in Psalm 101 verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will not look at these things. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. How did it go this year? What did you look upon? What did you muse upon? My preacher always said, listen, a bird may land on your head. That's not your fault. But if you let it build a nest, it is your fault. Those thoughts, those things you see and the things that come in your mind, maybe you didn't mean for it to happen, but do you keep bringing it back up and playing it over and over again? What's 2022 been like in that regard? And I know you're looking around going, well, these are our faithful church people. Why would this won't be a problem? Oh, sin is always a problem. Sin is always a problem. The person in your mind right now, if you close your eyes and think, who's the most spiritual person I can think of? Let me tell you something. That person's trying to keep a lid on it. They fight it every day. They're not getting more mellow. They just become more sensitive to their own sin and got time to judge you about yours. How's it going? How was 2022 this year? What went in your ears? What did you listen to? Now, immediately, your mind probably thinks, your mind probably thinks, well, music. Pastor's always just jumping on the wrong kind of music. Well, some of that music's trash. Some of it is dressed up with nice words, but it's still trash. And some of it leads your heart to thoughts that you shouldn't have. And it's filth and it's garbage. You need to get rid of it. You need music that inspires your soul and points you to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's music. Now, some of it's slow. Some of it can be fast. Some of it can be have a country sound or bluegrass sound. It's not my forte, but it could be, I don't know. But it does it inspire you to think of the Lord and magnify his name? But that's not the only thing that goes in our ears, is it? Proverbs 26:20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there's no talebearer, the strife ceases. Are you the desk at the office where people can come dump their garbage about other people? Where they can come in, sit down, and talk about other people? Just talk trash about folks? Proverbs 26:22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. You don't realize when you listen to that foolishness, it hurts you, not just the person they're talking about. And they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. How was 2022? You see what I'm talking about? It's more than just did you come to church this year. What went in those eyes? What is it that you muse upon? Let's take some inventory tonight. Because when we give place to the devil, we lose ground to him, but it can be recovered. You can bring back that which the devil has stolen. You can take back that which has been surrendered. You can have victory every inch of the way in the areas of your life where he's found a place. What has come out your mouth over 2022? Matthew 15:11 says, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth the man. In Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which good to the use of edifying. Did we use our mouth to glorify God and to build saints? but that which that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let's have a little inventory, y'all. If there was a transcript, and oh, by the way, there is a transcript in heaven. You don't worry about what Big Brother has recorded you doing. Our Father in heaven says, but you'll be judged by every idle word. What has come out of your mouth this year? Let's talk about it. Was the devil using it, or was God using it? How about anger? Yeah, anger's the sin. How was your anger in 2022? What was it like? Did you have it under control, or did it control you? Anger is a childish emotion. It is not an adult behavior. James 1:20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. What was 2022 like in the anger department? How about the forgiveness department? For Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. What was 2022 like in the area of forgiveness? What's the tally? You know, at the end of the year, we'd meet with the boss, and he'd have pie charts and graphs and bar graphs and things that told us how we were trending. How did 2022 trend this year in sin in your life? Bitterness. Bitterness is unresolved hurts. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, these are past hurts that you've not let go of. They become bitterness. And you start having thoughts of how their pain would make you happy. Anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away with you with all malice, the desire for them to be in pain. Have I hit your sin this year yet? I mean, we could go on. Nave's Topical Bible's got a whole list of sins we could talk about, but have I hit yours? I've hit mine. What was the strongest part of 2022 spiritually? Where did you take ground? Where did you make strides? Some of you have had some victories this year. It's been tremendous. I mean, excited to be a part of it too. I really have been. Ms. Fix and I love hearing the victory stories and when people break the chain and when things move forward. What's been your strongest? Tonight, as you think over these concepts, I want you to understand that you can take back the ground you've lost. You can recover the areas that have gone awry and across the lines. Just like the young man in our story tonight, he had to come to himself and realize and just be honest with himself. I have crossed the line. He didn't sit there in a hog pen and said, Lord, I have this area of weakness in my life that I could really use some strength right now. Right? He didn't sugarcoat it. He was real about it. This is sin. And I have no one else to blame but me. That's what he's saying here in verse 17. Look at it now. When he came to himself, he says, I am living like this when I'd have been better off to listen to my father and do what he says. This is on me. Now, I've mentioned some areas tonight, and if those are yours, fine. But even if I didn't mention your specific sin, nothing can be regained. Nothing. You cannot take that ground back and have victory in those areas until you recognize I have crossed the line and there is no one else to blame but me. It's sin. The first thing you got to do is return to your first love. You've got to return to Christ. Now, I'm not saying you're lost and you've lost your salvation. That's not what I mean. And you know that's not what I mean. I mean, you and Christ are not in that intimate relationship you used to have. You've lost ground. Verse 17, he says, verse 18, I will arise and go to my father. I'm going to repent and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. That's repentance. That's recognizing and acknowledging this is on me. I did this. I have crossed the line. And if I don't do something, if I don't acknowledge it and make the turn, it's going to destroy me. It's going to cost me my relationships. It's going to cost me my intimacy with God. And it's going to cost me the blessings. I tell people, right now you're living on the prayers of your pastor. You need to turn this boat around. Because sooner or later, those blessings will fall out. Sooner or later, you're going to go to the place where even us praying for you is not going to cover you. And the consequences will come. Remember, consequences are inevitable, inescapable, but left up to God to decide. So when you come to this, if you'll just be honest, where did I lose ground in 2022? Is it in my Bible reading? Is it in my prayer time? Is it in my intimacy with God? Is it the stuff I'm allowing my ears to hear and my eyes to see? Is it what I'm allowing my mind to muse upon? Is it anger? Is it bitterness? Is it wrath? Is it, what is it? Whatever it is. Step one, you've got to repent. You have got to turn back to God and acknowledge it and own it and say, this was me. I did this. But then you've got to forsake it. Look, verse 20. And he rose and came to his father. He left the world and he left the far country and he left. And honestly, he left everything he took with him there because it was gone. And all he had was whatever clothes on his back. It wasn't worth it anymore. And we fool ourselves and we think, well, I'll just try a little harder. You know, if I could just get this job, or if I could just get this piece, if I could just have that piece of technology, or if I could just work this one thing and get this under control, then everything will be pretty. No, it won't. It's not an area lacking in technology or strength. It's an area of sin, and it needs to be repented of. What did you lose in 2022? What is it where the devil has a beachhead and attacks you? What is it that is not the intimacy and fullness of the Holy Spirit that you once had? Repent and forsake. Stop trying to band-aid it with man's ideas. Drop it and turn to God and throw yourself upon him and his mercy. Verse 21, you've got to confess it to the Father. Not me, I'm not your father. Not to the elders of the church. You got to go to God and throw yourself upon him. Verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned. He didn't say, I messed up. I kind of fooled around and you know, these things. You know, the funniest stories are all, well, what happened was, no, I have sinned. There's no victory. There's no health. There's no return. There's no triumph until you utter those words in prayer, because everything else is an excuse. And that's what got you to this place where you lost stuff in 2022. Now, I understand 2020 was a dumpster fire. I know that. COVID was a mess. It messed us all up. I've been sick 3 Christmases in a row. I get it. But 2023 doesn't have to be like the previous years. Victory is within your grasp, but no one can do it for you. Step one, you've got to return to your first love, and that takes repentance. You've got to forsake that sin. Go on and own up to it and say, I'm angry. Okay, that is a sin I have to let go of. I cannot play with it. You cannot sin and win. You cannot wean yourself off. Your flesh will never, ever be satisfied with just a little. The horse leech hath 2 daughters, and they shout, give, give. And sin and our flesh are constantly in our face, screaming for the things it wants. When the devil always finds a way to take the things and the shiny things of the world to excite our flesh. But until you repent, which is to acknowledge and admit its sin, turn to God and forsake it and leave it behind. If you need filters on your phone and your technology, then do it. If you need to cancel it, go back to a flip phone, do it. They're still selling flip phones. You can text and you can call. But where is it? Is it anger? Is it a lack of forgiveness? Is it do you behave differently when you're around certain people? You gotta cut that off. Say, I can't do this anymore. I can't hang with that person. I can't run. You know, I'm not blaming them, but I know my own weakness towards sin when I'm with them. I have to take responsibility. I have to forsake it, and then I have to confess it. Now, be specific. In 1 John 1:9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. We have to confess it, but we got to be specific. This is a sin, Lord, and I have been in sin willfully, and I need to stop and acknowledge it and apologize. Psalm 32, verse 5, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Number one, return to your first love, and that's Christ. Number two, go back to the first work. Look at verse 19. He says, make me as one of thy hired servants. You know, what got you spiritually strong is what will get you spiritually strong again and keep you spiritually strong. And that's the foundational five. All sin is avoided by listening and obeying God. Listening to God and obeying God. Hearing Him and obeying Him. The foundational five we're going to talk about. You need to read your Bible every day. You have to. You have to. You cannot win without it. You cannot be empowered and free to the Spirit to acknowledge and to follow the Spirit without the Word. It is the Word that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the Word that empowers you. It is the Word that changes you from the inside out. It's the Word that makes that difference to where now your want-tos are different. Your desires are different. It's the Word. Amen. You got to memorize it. You got to memorize it. You know, we listen sometimes to the old-time preachers. I listen to podcasts from the oldies, the ones that are, you know, the recordings are scratchy. But they had the power of God on their life, and they memorized Scripture. And then they would meditate on it. Instead of thinking on the things of this world, they would think on the Word of God, and they'd meditate upon it. You need to pray every day, all day, throughout the day. Be in constant contact with your Father in heaven. And prayer is a two-way street. Proverbs 8 says in verse 17, I love them that love thee. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. But I like Psalm 91. He that dwelleth, liveth, abideth, spendeth the majority of their life. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Your prayer life needs to be one where you are in constant contact with God. But then you've got to obey God. You have to obey. He will prompt you. And then there is no other response that is acceptable other than, yes, Lord. That's it. There is no other acceptable response. When I give my son a command, there is no other acceptable response other than, yes, sir. That's it. Obey. Well, I'm not at a safe place on my game. Well, you know, I got another 10 minutes on this episode. Or you know, I'm on this text string, and we're conversing, and the Lord's like, I need you to. There's no other response that's acceptable other than yes, sir. That's it. To obey means to do what you're told, when you're told, with a good attitude. You want to be blessed. You want to have 2023 where you regain and have victory in every area of your life where you've surrendered it to Satan. I'm telling you right now, you can't have it without saying yes, sir, and obey. That's it. Now, we talk about the foundational five. We talk about tithing. You need to be tithing. If you're not tithing, you're not right with the Lord. You need to be witnessing. God has you here for a purpose. One of the milestones in my life was when I came to realize that the Lord was just providing me an income as a field engineer. What I actually was His servant. That wasn't the day I surrendered for the ministry. That didn't happen for years. But after about 2-3 years of being saved, I realized I'm really a servant of God who actually gets his bills paid by doing work during the day. But I'm 24/7, 365. I am God's servant. That's what I am. So you need a witness. That's why God has you on that job. That's why God has you on that street. That's why God has you in that school. That's why God has you in that club. Because you're going to be a witness. Yes, you need to attend church. And I'm talking to the faithful tonight. You're here. You're here, and I appreciate that. Number one, return to your first love. That's your being right with Christ. Return to the first work, which is your daily walk, your foundational five. That's what got you spiritually strong. That's what will get you spiritually strong and keep you spiritually strong again. You got to go back to the first work, the first love, and you've got to disregard the critics. You know, in verse 25, his elder brother came in from the field and was mad. You know, there are going to be people in your life, if you really want victory, if you really want the power of God in your life, there are going to be people who are not going to understand. They're not going to understand. Nor are they going to be acquainted with the joy of the Father in heaven who rejoices at your choices. That's what it says here in Luke chapter 15 and verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Verse 10, likewise I say unto you there's joy in the presence of the angels. Who's the one rejoicing? God the Father is rejoicing, not the angels. Over one sinner that repenteth. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him. God wants you to come back. You say, well, I'm doing good in this area, and I'm doing good in this area, and I'm doing good in this area. Why isn't that enough? Because partial obedience is still rebellion. It's still rebellion. It's still an area of your life where God cannot fully bless you, and God won't fully bless you. And the thing is, it wasn't like anyone here tonight did a 90-degree turn this year. It's not like you went along and everything was fine, and boom, you just went off in that area. No, it was small, incremental compromises that led to a great disaster. And maybe the great disaster's not hit you yet, but you know what I'm talking about. You have had an area of your life where small compromises, just little bitty choices, little bitty compromises that weren't quite exactly in line with God's word, and you knew it. And now you say to yourself, I'm fixing to be in trouble. God's talking to you tonight. It's time to, you got to make the hard turn and come back and correct it. But rejoice with the Father. Recognize, don't let the devil lie to you and say, oh, sure, one more big show. Okay, sure, yeah, sure, go ahead, ask for forgiveness. Yeah, yeah, we know you're all going to go back to it tomorrow. And the devil's a liar. You have to forsake that area. You have to. You have to. You got to replace it with good. You can't overcome evil with evil. You have to overcome evil with good. And God, you can't have a vacuum. You take something out of your life. You got to put something of God back in that section of life. But rejoice with the Father. But also, stop resisting the Father. I know we're supposed to resist the devil, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But stop saying no to God. Stop telling the Father. And you know what I'm talking about. When he speaks in your heart, stop saying no. Well, you know, I've got to do this. Or, well, I was hoping to get that done. When God speaks to you, you need to say yes and stop saying no. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You have to resist the devil. Now, it doesn't say you get in a fist fight with the devil. It doesn't mean that you're going to wrestle with him. It says resist him. When the devil says do, you need to say no. When God says do, you need to say yes. Because when you say no to God, it's saying yes to what everything else that isn't of God. Oh, and by the way, the devil does exist. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist. Do you think that opportunity to sin came from God, or do you think that came from the devil? You think God opened that door and said, here. God doesn't tempt us. with sin. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, keep saying no to the devil. You understand he's alive. He's a liar, but he's also a defeated foe. You understand you can win. He is scary smart. That's true. He's scary powerful. That's true. And he is one of three enemies you have. You have the world around us that excites our flesh. You have the flesh you live in. And then you have the devil who uses both. And he's not fair the way he fights. You have to rejoice with the Father, and you have to resist the devil. You have to remember you're on the winning side. God wants you to win. He wants you to win. 1 John chapter number 4 and verse 4. Listen to what the Bible reads. 1 John 4, 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Now, people will say, well, God won't give you more than you can handle. That's a lie. That's a lie. The Bible says that God, with the temptation, will give you a way of escape so that you can handle it. But if you're too dumb or too obstinate or too wicked in your heart to take the way of escape, then you get what you get. Well, they'll think I'm lame. She won't like me. I could lose my girlfriend over this, or I could lose my boyfriend over this, or I could lose my friends, or the people at work. Well, they'll think I'm foolish, or they'll make fun of me, or they'll dog me on social media. Who cares? As long as God is happy with you, nobody else matters. But if you're not right with God, it doesn't matter who likes you. It doesn't matter. Your life is headed for destruction. See, victory is within our grasp. 2023 does not have to be a repeat of the last couple of years. 2023 can be the year of victory in your life. But it's going to be up to you to return to your first love, which is Christ, and the first work, which is your daily walk. And then number three, you've got to put on the whole armor of God. You have to suit up every single day. Listen to what it says, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, you can't put on the armor of God if you're not reading and praying and tithing and witnessing and going to church. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand, or able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. This is not a conventional war. This is a spiritual battle. Depression, discouragement, loneliness, regret. These are spiritual battles. These are the only way you win. Ephesians 6 and verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You've got to have the word of God written in your heart. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, that's right living. Choosing right instead of allowing sin. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You need to be ready to give that answer. Above all, taking the shield of faith. You know, we do well. Certain parts of your life are easy. For some people, coming to church three services a week is the easiest part. They don't have to do anything. They just show up. And that's cool, because that's one of the five things. That's good. But out of those five things, read, pray, tithe, witness, and go to church, you know one of them's tough. One of them's tough for you, and it's a constant battle. Is it prayer? You can't be satisfied and say, well, I'm doing this, this, and this, and that ought to be good enough. No. No, it doesn't work for your parents. It doesn't work for your boss. And I wonder why we think it ought to work for God. You can have victory this year. You can take back the ground that was surrendered. You can actually have complete victory this year. But you've got to return to your first love, which is Christ, and be right with him and stay right with him. Managing it throughout your day. Number two, you've got to come back to the first work, which is a daily, inner, intimate walk with God. And number three, you've got to suit up. Every single day, you've got to put on the armor of God, recognizing that you're going to be attacked. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place unto the devil. Recognizing that the areas you compromise in is giving him a foothold to attack you. It's not some silly little thing. It's an opening in the armor. It's not just some little trinket or some little thing that it's no big deal, everybody's doing. No, it is a breach in your defense. And he gets in. And remember, you have to be alert. He is always, always, always watching for an opportunity. So you have to be vigilant. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, to be able to withstand on this, you're going to have to make decisions before you get in the situations. You have to make a decision on how you're going to respond when your friends come by and they want to lead you in a wrong direction, or when your coworkers are inviting you out. There's nothing wrong with going out after work and having hot wings, but you have to draw the line and say, I'm not drinking. I'm not going to be a part of this. I don't want to be a part of a drunken clamor. You know what? If you want something to eat, let's go to Subway. Let's go someplace where it's civil. Let's go to some family restaurant. You want to have some food? Let's do that. You say, well, they might not like me. Well, who is it you want to please this year? Is it God? Or is it your coworker? Is it God? Or is it your classmates? You know, I've had several conversations with some folks in our church about dating and relationships. And you have to understand, I understand being lonely. But if you're not equally yoked in salvation, separation, and service, you will be led astray. That means the person you want to date needs to be just as saved as you are, just as separated from the world as you are, and just as interested in serving God and being faithful as you are, or it will be a fight, and you will have to compromise to keep that relationship. But remember who you're compromising. You're compromising with the Lord. And we think somehow God's just going to, I understand. And after a while, he stops winking at it, and he starts whacking. Never retreat, by the way. You resist the devil every day, every time. That's how Jesus did it with Scripture. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You must return to your first love. Your relationship with Christ has to be clean, clear, and intimate. You have to return to your first work, which is your daily intimate time with God. It's more than just reading a book and checking a box. It's about communing with the Lord. And then you have to rejoice with the Father and obey. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. And Father, tonight it is our desire that 2023 would be the year that turns the tide in our life. That 2023 becomes the milestone year of our spiritual growth. And may this year be something beyond our wildest dreams. For you want things that we can't even fathom. Let us make these decisions now. Let us return to you with our whole heart. And we'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play and sing, make tonight that commitment to come back in all areas and not be satisfied with just partial.
cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Father, we love you. When we come back to you in all parts of our life tonight, we give ourselves afresh and anew. Father, let 2023 be the year where you reign supreme in our hearts and our lives. And Father, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.